18 to 19 we'll take together.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate.
So we love the text together, 13-19 verses of the 13th chapter.
Neyam yattatta vakshami yajñatvamrutamashnate anadimatparam brahma natatranma pradukshate sarvatasvanipadamta sarvatokshishiromukham सर्वेन्द्रियगुणाभासम् असक्तम् सर्ववृक्षैव निर्गुणम् गुणबोधृश बहिरन्तश्च भूतानाम् अचरम् चरमेव च सूक्ष्मत्वात् तद्विज्ञेयम् दूरस्थम् चान्तिके च तत् अविभक्तम् च भूतेषु विभक्तमिव दर्शितम् भूतवर्तु च तज्ज्ञेयम् प्रविष्णु प्रभविष्णु च ज्योतिषामपि तज्ज्योतिर्नवतः परमुच्यते ज्ञानम् ज्ञेयज्ञानगम्यम् हृदि सर्वस्य विष्टितम् इति क्षेत्रम् तथा ज्ञानम् ज्ञेयम् चोक्तम् समासतः मद्वक्तव्येतद्विज्ञाय मद्भावायोपपद्यते हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
जय कृष्णा प्राइम मिनिस्टर we were discussing about the soul and super soul, isn't it? Between verses 13 to 19, there is knowledge about Nyayam. Nyayam means the ultimate knowable. So there is knowledge of, first there is description about Kshetra and Kshetrajna. Then there was also description about, then the process of acquiring knowledge, Jnanam. That was very elaborately described by Krishna in 13.8-12. Now we are talking about the Nyayam, the ultimate knowable. So it may appear to be very simple truth. Okay, Nyayam is only super soul. And you already said what super soul is all about. The super soul is Kshirudakshaya Vishnu, which is Shankar Chakra Gada Padma, he is standing, poster, he is standing in the heart. Of the region of the heart of every living being. So, what is so special about knowing the super soul? So, I said we will learn four things. You all remember? What is the first thing I said?
How is it different from the soul?
How is super soul different from the soul? Yeah, then? How can we?
Devotee perceives
soul
and super soul.
How can a devotee
perceive soul and super soul?
Perceive soul and super soul, okay. Then?
How can knowledge of soul and super soul?
That is last. So the other, that is three out of four. There is one more. You said the second, third and fourth you said now. Understand the super soul, correct. That was the first one, yeah. So, we were planning to discuss in four steps. Understanding the super soul. And understanding the relationship between soul and super soul. And the third one, how does a pure devotee see the soul and super soul? And finally, how to experience the eternal amritam or nectar by the knowledge of the super soul. This is the last one. So last time we discussed about the first one, I think, right? about the knowledge of the super soul. And we were discussing a little bit about the soul and super soul. So let more be said about that. This knowledge is very vital for a spiritualist. Anyone who wants to elevate one's consciousness, the understanding of soul and super soul subject is very, very important. That's why we are devoting so much time for this. You see, when Krishna uses the word tattva-vit in Bhagavad Gita, you heard the word tattva-vit in many verses. Can you quote some verses? Tattva-vit. Tattva-vit tu mahabaho, isn't it? One verse he uses. Another verse, tad-viddi, sanipatena. Also, that verse, which talks about matter and spirit also, he says, no? What is the verse? Which talks about matter and spirit. That matter has no endurance and the spirit never ceases to exist. Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sata. Adhyorati drishtam tas. Taniyo tattva darshi bhihi. Tattva darshi, tattva vidyate. Janma karma chame vidyate. Evam yo vetti tattvata. So, tattva-ved means not just knowing a knowledge. It means a lot, tattva-ved. For example, say an engineering student going into an engineering classroom and sitting and attending a lecture on, say, electronics or on mathematics or some subject. And a cow also is going into the class, or a crow or any bird or animal. They may go to the class, but they cannot understand what is going on there. They cannot just comprehend what is being spoken there. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is often spoken as a great mystery or a secret, although the Bhagavad Gita is wide open for everyone to read. So, tattva-vitt is not just one who just knows it. What is the proof that you know something? Your actions will say whether you know or not. Like, for example, there are so many people in India who say they know Krishna very well, but Krishna gives us an acid test to check whether they know him or not. Like he says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all that exists, all spiritual worlds and material worlds, Arjuna. I am the supreme Godhead, Krishna says. Now somebody may say, oh, I also know it. In our home, we have Laddu Gopal, you know. We also dress him, we offer food to him, we know Krishna very well. But what is the proof? Iti matva vajante maam. That is the proof. If you are accepting that Krishna is Supreme God, he says, Iti matva vajante. They will be always worshipping me and chanting my name. They will do that, he says. Once you show in action, he says, it's not mere devotion, it is devotional. Service. Not only that, he says, Iti matva bhajante ma buddha bhava samanpitaha. Wholeheartedly, they will love me and worship me. Bhava samanpitaha. See the word he uses. Again, there is another verse. Yoma meva asammudho janati purushottamam sa sarvavit bhajati maam sarva bhavena bharata. He says, yoma veva asammudho. My dear Arjuna, if one is not bewildered in knowing about me, asammudho, janati, purushottama. One who knows that I am the purushottama or the supreme God. What is the proof that they know it? If somebody knows this truth, you know what he says? Sa sarva vetti, he is all knowing. There is nothing more to be known for that alone. For that person. If somebody knows me to be the ultimate God, that person knows everything. That's sarvavit. Because there is nothing outside of God. There is only one thing outside of God. Can anyone say?
Maya.
Maya. Maya means the illusion which makes us think it is separate from God. Everything is inside God. Krishna opened his mouth and showed the whole Brahmanda in his belly. So sarvavit is all knowing. But what is the proof that the person knows Krishna or God without bewilderment? The proof is, he says, sarva bhavina bharata. Sa sarvavid bhajati ma. Again he says bhajati. And then how?
Sarva bhavina bharata.
He will worship me how? Wholeheartedly. So these are the proofs. So Krishna gives a very complete definition. The necessary and sufficient conditions he is giving. Necessary condition is my devotee should not just say that he loves me, but he has to serve me. He should not only just serve me, but serve me wholeheartedly. Then only it can be considered that he is my devotee. Ananyastin kentoma, yejana aparipasate. So these are symptoms of a devotee. Nobody can cheat the Lord. So if you say we know the Lord, then how we, with what bhavana we serve him, and whether we serve him or not, or we simply are having an intellectual exercise, or we are having some intellectual titillation. So that will be tested by how we lead our lives. Like, you know, if a husband tells his wife, I love you very much, we are newly wedded now, I love you very much, but he doesn't give her sari, he doesn't give her gifts, he doesn't give her any facilities, and he just goes to office and comes and he says, I love you very much. She will ask, what kind of love is this? You have to give me a house to live, you have to give me nice clothes to wear, nice ornaments, you have to take care of me. So love means action. Love is not just some sentiment. So of course the sentiment is appreciated, but the sentiment should lead to action. And that action is bhajate ma, bhajati ma, sarva bhavena. And one should do it with the heart. In the same way, knowing super soul is not a joke, simply knowing that there is the form of the Lord seated in our heart. But I also know it. That is why we are discussing so much about it. Now, what is the meaning of knowing the Lord being in the heart? You know the story of the Gurukul teacher who gave mango to all the boys and told them, you go to a secret place where God will not watch you, and you eat away the mango and gone. Somebody hid behind a bush and ate the mango and came. Somebody hid behind a blanket. Somebody hid himself into a room and locked up the room and ate the mango and came. Every one of them went to different hideouts. But one boy came back to the teacher and said, sir, I couldn't find a place where God is not watching me. He is watching me everywhere. His eyes are everywhere. I am sorry, I could not eat this mango anywhere. The teacher said, this fellow knows God. So, knowing super soul means also know the role of super soul and the role of individual soul. And how they relate with one another. You have to know. The understanding of which can elevate us to a very great height in spiritual life, this understanding. It can be very liberating, this knowledge can be liberating. As you know, the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the quintessence of Krishna consciousness can be put in just two, three sentences. Krishna consciousness teaches the philosophy which Prabhupada has given on all his books. The simple truth is that the soul does not belong to this world, but he belongs to the spiritual world. But he wanted to enjoy separate from the Supreme Lord. So he has come to this world for enjoying separately. And he wanders in this world in so many different species. Jalaja, Navalakshani, Savara Lakshavimshati, Kramayo, Rudra Samyakaha, like that many are said. There are different types of species. Jalaja means aquatic. Kavala means the plants. Kramayo means the reptiles. So in the body of reptiles and bees and birds and aquatics and animals and human beings and trees and all these different bodies, the jiva wanders in different bodies. Why is he wandering? He wants to enjoy. His goal is pleasure pursuit. He wants to enjoy in each of his body. And after wandering in millions and millions of species, at last the soul comes to his senses that I cannot enjoy independently, alone. So the conclusion of his understanding is Vasudeva Sarvamitita Mahatma Sudhava. And then he surrenders to the Lord. And then by such surrender, he becomes purified in the heart and gradually becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual world again. There he can eternally serve the Lord. So this is the common substance of Krishna consciousness philosophy. So when the soul becomes independent of the Lord and comes to this world, at that time the Lord is so kind and merciful that he sends one of his expansions called Supa Soul, with a soul. So each soul in this world is not alone, he is accompanied by Supa Soul, the heart. And the Supa Soul is constantly escorting him in different species of life. Whether we go into the body of a worm, we go into the body of a dog, we get into the body of a tree or a human being, whatever body. In every body the Supa Soul is present by the side of the soul. Always escort him and guide him. But as we said in the last class, the Supa Soul puts us to forgetfulness of our previous lives. Although we have been in different bodies in the previous lives, he makes us forgetful of the previous life. Why? So that we can go ahead with this fresh life, thinking this to be the first life or the fresh life. We can enjoy. Because we came with the desire to enjoy separately, isn't it? So he gives the facility. But how can we know that we have led a previous life? There are many ways to understand it. Sometimes when you are sleeping in the night, you get a dream of flying in the sky. So, Srila Prabhupada explains this in one of the Bhagavatam purports. If somebody gets an experience of flying in the sky, then one might have been an astronaut, or one might have been a demigod flying in the sky. So, then when you wake up, when you come to Jagrati state, then all the dream is gone. So the same subtle body is there from the previous life. What is the subtle body? Man, buddhi and ahankar. When the atma leaves one body and goes to another body, the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, is the same. Man, buddhi, ahankar. Which you are carrying from one life to another life to third life. So, while the gross bodies are changing, one after another, after we die, we wear new dresses for the material body. The soul covered by the subtle body is the same. And it takes long time to purify the subtle body. I think I was talking about the conditioning, isn't it? Conditionings and the impurities in the subtle body are so deep. And it takes the subconscious mind, they are all stored. And as long as we have desires in this world to enjoy, that many bodies we have to get. And we will be going on struggling in the pursuit of enjoyment. Can someone say, why do we call it a struggle for enjoyment? Why can't we call it as an ambitious endeavor for enjoyment? Why do we call it a struggle? Why the word struggle is used in the Shastra? Yeah? She is saying Krishna is the only enjoyer, we are not the enjoyer, okay?
Without struggle we cannot enjoy.
Yeah? Without struggle we cannot enjoy. That means after struggle we will enjoy? Can you say that? He is saying the end result is misery. He is saying, why is it misery? I think we have to thrash out this question clearly. If this is understood, half the job is done. He is saying it's like a carrot hanging in front of the donkey and it's always a struggle. You think the happiness is just a feet away. But when you go 1 feet ahead, then the happiness also goes 1 feet ahead, is it? Yeah.
The struggle never stops.
The struggle never stops for enjoyment. Your greed keeps increasing, you are saying. Okay. Because of greed, we never become happy, you know?
It is not our constitutional position.
To?
Enjoying is not our constitutional position. So we have to struggle because it's not natural for us.
He is saying it's not natural for us to enjoy. What is the natural for us to do?
To
serve. But we are trying to enjoy, so it's not natural for us. That's it, to struggle.
So we want unlimited happiness, separate from Krishna.
The soul wants unlimited happiness without coming in contact with the Lord, independently. So, but he cannot get that, right? I was looking for one more answer. All these are correct. Yeah? You will give one more answer, Mati? She is coming very close to the answer. She is saying, she has come very close to the answer which she was looking for. She says, the enjoyments that we are trying to enjoy in this world are temporary. First part, second part. And the desire to enjoy such temporary objects is binding us to this world and making us suffer. Yeah. Somebody can say very close to this answer.
The results that the effort that you put in to get a tiny amount of pleasure, endeavor, that again leads you to again my misery.
The efforts are so much. He's saying the efforts for getting the tiny pleasure of this world is enormous, he says. It's like, you know, getting a machine gun to shoot a mosquito, you know. That put enormous efforts to, you know, get pleasure, he's saying, yeah? I am asking why it's Sukalayam. Why is it a struggle? She was very close to answer, yeah. It was almost just 1 millimeter away. Yeah? Yeah? Oh, that's a nice answer, undoubtedly. Because we are separate from Krishna, we are suffering, is it? Yeah? This is not a place meant for us, so Krishna wants to teach us the lesson. So he has sent us to struggle, is it? Yeah, that's funny. He said pleasure is temporary relief from misery. That's correct. I'm looking for one another answer. That's fine, he also said. Soul wants unlimited pleasure, but he cannot do it. One last answer.
The endeavor begins, middle and end.
Endeavor in the middle? The beginning and end there is misery. That's the answer I was looking for. We are struggling because it is illusory enjoyment. See, there is no enjoyment here. But we are struggling to experience enjoyment because these are called illusory enjoyment. So this has to be understood very well. What is this illusory enjoyment? You know this story of the... you must have heard the story, but Bhaktivinoda Saraswati says the story. Because, you know, if you talk very abstract philosophically, nobody can comprehend. But Bhaktivinoda Saraswati makes things so down-to-earth simple. He tells the story of how this... once a crane was waiting for a long time to get a fish in the water. And the fishes were all running away very fast. He couldn't get one. And then he saw the testicles of a bull hanging. So he saw the testicles of the bull and thought that here is a fish hanging. So why am I unnecessarily putting so much endeavor to get the fish from the water? So he put his beak between the two legs of the bull to pick the so-called fish. And the bull gave him a kick on the face. So the crane was shocked. Why it appeared to be such an easy thing? Why I am not able to get happiness? He thought he committed a slight mistake or something. Again he tried. Second time tried, again he got a kick. And repeatedly he got a kick, but he never got the fish. Because it was not fish in the first place. But he thought it's a fish. That is the illusion. The real fish in the water. But here he was thinking this is fish. So Bhaktivinoda gives a story to explain how in this world what we think of as enjoyments are not enjoyment. You see, take the body in which we are situated. It is said, idam shariram parinama peshanam patatyavasyam shatasandhi jarjaram. It is said this body is made up of hundreds and thousands of nerves and joints. And there are so many complicated machines. The body is a highly complex CNC machine. Yeah. You've seen a CNC machine, it has got everything. There is, there is electronics in there, there is mechanical in there, there is chemical fluids in there, everything is there. The body is a highly complex machine. Sometimes you find this huge JCB, you know, which picks up sand. So that's also a very complex machine. So in that huge bulldozer kind of machine, what do you call it?
Excavator,
they call it excavator. In that, and the end of that is a big hand, gigantic hand, there is a small cabin. Inside the cabin, there is a small man sitting inside. So we are like that soul, the driver of that cabin. So in this body, we are also sitting in this body. Whether it's an elephant's body, or a whale's body, or a camel's body or a mosquito's body, in every body there's a soul sitting. So when that man is working, sometimes he feels it's my hand, you know, I am picking so much sand and putting, isn't it? Suddenly the wire gets cut sometimes and he can't do anything. He presses the button but nothing works. Similarly, in our body also you'll find our body doesn't function according to our will and wish always. You can easily see that. The body is actually a complex machine. It's a trouble-giving body. There are more pains and problems in the body than pleasure. But in youth, we feel body works very powerfully. The body works so nicely. We feel very healthy. So we tend to become proud. That is why Shankara says this, you know, Ma kuru dhana jana yauvana garvam harati nimesha kala sarvam. He says this, Ma kuru dhana jana yauvana garvam, dhana jana yauvana, wealth, youthhood, and followers, all these things can make you proud. Don't be proud, he says. So, Buddha also taught to these bhikshus 5 lessons. And these 5 lessons, he said, are not only for the bhikshus. He told the bhikshus that you teach this to householders also. He said, this is very relevant to householders also. You should teach to grihasthas also, he said. So it's not irrelevant for me to speak it here in assembly like this. Because he spoke this lesson for one and all. So he told them 5 things. By contemplating on death, one can give up the pride of life, he said. Sometimes when our life is going our way, and we have a lot of wealth and prosperity and everything, we feel very proud. And he said, by contemplating on death, one can give up the pride of life. By contemplating on the miseries of old age, one can give up the pride of youth, he said. Because one may be a youth now, but he will not remain a youth forever. Because the skin starts getting wrinkles, hair starts becoming grey, teeth starts falling, eyes are getting into the socket, and you can't see properly, you can't hear properly. So by contemplating on the old age, one can give up the pride of
youth.
And by contemplating on diseases, he said one can give up the pride of health. Like, I don't know whether anybody feels proud of your health. I never got any diseases. Everything is going on well. I hardly get a headache or snorty once in a while. I'm healthy. Body is hale and healthy. If anybody feels proud, he says, contemplate on the diseases. You will give up your pride of health. One can give up the pride of health by maintaining the whole life. And he says, by meditating on the way how the things of the world, they decay and also are taken away from our life. On one hand, the things of the world decay or they are taken away from us. By contemplating on this, one can give up the desire for possessing things. Like, we are eager for accumulating more and more, as Rohit who rightly said. He said, you know, if you have a cycle, you want a scooter. If you have a scooter, you want a car. So we have a desire to possess more and more. But how can one give up the desire for possessing more and more? By contemplating on how the things of the world will deteriorate and decay, or they are taken away from us. Either by robbery, or somehow by our forgetfulness, we lose it. So he said one can give up that desire for possessing more. And also he said, and by remembering that the current sufferings that I am undergoing in my life are simply a result of my past wrong deeds. By contemplating on this point, whatever I am suffering now, what is it due to my own past and this deeds I am suffering now. By remembering this, one can refrain from sinful action, sinful thought, word and action. So right now, for example, if I am impulsed to commit some sin, by remembering that currently, I already have enough suffering in my quota. Why to accumulate even more? So, one will become contemplative and avoid it. So, I told this thing. So, we can see the self-reference of this world we were saying. In this world, with this material body, that's a complex mesh which is actually a great humiliation upon the soul. Why is the material body a humiliation of the soul? Because this body is called as anatta. And then in Bhagavatam there is a word which says, Yayatam mohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute anattam tatkritam chavipadyate. The soul is by nature divine and transcendental. He has a pure spiritual body. But now that the pure soul is entrapped in this horrible material body, he says, if you contemplate on the constituents of this material body, namely the flesh and bone, hearing, stool, bile, mucus and all the foul smelling substances. Now all these substances are put together called the Sangata in Bhagavad Gita, the Dhin Chatham. Or Sangata Chetana. Sangata is the conglomeration of all these 24 material elements. You see, we are entrapped in a cage of this material body. Just imagine if you are put in a room with all these foul smelling substances, how will one feel? One is put in a room, locked up in a room, and all the flesh, bones, stool, all the things are put in the room. You just cannot tolerate. So that is the way the soul is entrapped in this body. That's why it's a humiliation upon the soul, having a material body. So, one should contemplate on how this body is impure, and how this body is decaying and gradually dwindling from childhood to boyhood to youth to old age, and then gradually dwindles. And it just falls away. It's only a shell. Just like you see in a doctor's hospital, you find they have put a skeleton anatomy of the body. And with the body, that's what remains. Only the bones remain. And everything falls apart. The soul leaves its body and goes to another destination. So one should remember the destructible nature of the material body. But to consider such a body to be an object of pleasure is called illusion. What is illusion? The definition of illusion is false representation of the spiritual reality. It's called illusion. When you see it, it appears like truth. But when you grasp it, you understand it as untruth. You come to realize, oh, this cannot give me happiness. Like sometimes when I was a small boy, I went with my father to the office. And immediately I found a beautiful, you know, in the shops they sell this halwa, you know, halwa, square. It is transparent, red and transparent. You see that? Huh? Karachi. Karachi. So, like that, there was a piece of halwa. Immediately I picked it up and put it in the mouth, I found it was just a table weight. It didn't give me any sweetness because I had eaten halwa before. But I was cheated when I ate this, it was just a. Similarly, from distance it looks, this is going to give me pleasure. But then when one picks it up, and one tries to enjoy it, it doesn't give the happiness. That's called illusion actually. Illusion means false representation of the reality. That's illusion. In this world is full of objects of illusion for every one of our senses, for the eyes, for the nose, for the ears, for the tongue, for the skin. So, the soul foolishly wanders in this world, and the soul is not ready to believe that what I am struggling after is illusory enjoyment. He is not convinced. You give 100 lectures, after that he will say, maybe some happiness is there. Must be there. It's very difficult to convince him. And it takes lifetimes. You know the story of I was telling last time when I came, I think. I was telling you that. So the father who had a textile mill shop.
I told him.
You remember that? No, he was not in Delhi. This father, he was hale and healthy, but he was about 60 years old. Only problem was he had 2-3 sons. And this father always would trouble the sons in the textile shop. You know, he would be giving newer and newer ideas which are useless ideas. Old, weird ideas which are not practical. So sons got really disturbed. They called for one very nice brahmana and told them, please kindly take this father to all Tirtha Yatra so that he will not disturb the business. So he took him for Tirtha Yatra and his father went to more than 30-40 holy places. He went all over India. And the brahmana said, sir, now it's time now. Now your father is going to return back home. And the son said, we will give you any amount of money, please don't allow him to come back home. to take him for summer rowing schedule. He said, I have finished most of them. He said, you have, when you bring him home, he should have such a vairagya that, you know, he should say, enough of my business now. I stay at home. He should not come and interfere with our business. And the Brahmana said, that seems to be an impossibility. Your father is always thinking, after the holy temple, he was thinking about the textile shop. But still the son said, somehow you try, we'll give you special money, gift for this. Anyway, then the Sura got back to take him, then he removed Varanasi, the Shmashan got. Then he thought, if Varanasi Shmashan got, then let me show him the burning body. And the body is burnt to ashes. You know, many yogis come there to sit in meditation and see the burning body is there. So he took him to Shmashan Ghat, and the father also went, and one body was being burnt there. He made him sit in front of him. Father sitting at the dead body, burning body. And then gradually tears were coming from his eyes. And his face was shivering. And now I thought, now at last the realization has dawned in his heart. Please speak of your realization, sir. He said. And the old man was crying. He said, what can I say? What can I say? What a loss. What a loss in my life. Isn't it? He was beating on his head. And then the Brahman asked, please tell me. Tell me more. What more you feel? Then he said, all my life I have wasted doing the textile business. I should have done wood business. Because, you know, everyone in this world will die and they will, you know, burn the body. Now I am immediately going back. I will give an idea to my friend. Wind up the textile business and you can start wood business. So even before the Brahmana could open his eyes and see where he was astounding. So, Swami Pali said that even, actually there is no verse by Shankara, anybody know? Dashana Vihinam Jatam Tundam. Angam Vilitam Palitam Undam. Dashana Vihinam Jatam Tundam. Vriddho Yati Vitva Dandam. Adakana Mintati Ashapindam. That is very fitting verse to this story. He says, what is the first line? Is it? Angam Velikam. See, angam means the limbs of the body. They are like a candle. Like you see, sometimes you see a candle doll, you see. It looks very beautiful. Like this Barbie doll. So our body also is like a, you know, very beautiful doll. But just as the wax, if you lick it up in the top, it melts, melts, melts. It completely, later on nobody can know what was the original form of the candle. Similarly, our body also, in youth, it is very beautiful. But the body, just like the melting wax, angam galitam. Initially, our raised nose and the nose gradually comes down. You know, scientists have found out in one of our series, they show it. You have a raised lips and raised nose and a very prominent body and everything. Everything goes down in this world. So he said, angam galitam, galitam, mundam, all the hair falls away. A little hair remains on the head. And then, second line? And then Vriddho Yati Dhitva Danda. So in this way a person accepts a stick in the old age because he cannot walk just with two legs. He needs a stick to support his body. And then he says, Adatina Asha, Adatina Munchati Asha. Even at that age, the desire for enjoying this world doesn't go away. What a great curse. Even Gajendra, in his prayer, he says, this ignorance that is there in the core of my heart, my dear God, it seems I cannot eradicate it by any amount of endeavor. He says, just like, you know, you yell at the darkness, it will not go away. You beat at the darkness, it will not go away. Unless the sun rises in the east, the darkness will not go. Similarly, the realization that what I am chasing after is a useless pursuit. Enjoyment in this world that cannot give happiness. The conviction is certainly a mercy of the Lord and His devotees. That doesn't come very easily. Soul is not convinced. Because the soul is not convinced, he wants to enjoy. The Paramatma keeps on making arrangement for him to enjoy. Whatever enjoyments he wanted to enjoy, he go ahead and enjoy it. So now somebody may ask, why is the super soul so cruel? If the worldly pleasures are all ephemeral, they are all illusory. They cannot give us happiness. For example, we think children are naughty and mischievous. For example, children play with toys, sometimes they are pulling each other's hair, beating one another sometimes. If you see, we do the same thing after we grow up into big children. Like, you know, children are playing with toys, and we play with bungalows and cars and bigger toys. They are also other type of toys. Children play with lollipops. So we also play with bigger toys. They are also bigger toys. In our life, everyone has a different type of ambition in life. Basically, all the categories are atho griha kshetra sutra apta vitta janasya mohoyam amameti. I and mine. These two are the prominent principles. I means ahankar and mamakar, the things that belong to me. All my center and this. And in this certain chapter, you just explain how we are all in a field. What is a field? Like, you know, a child in the sandbox. You have seen children playing in the sandbox, isn't it? Sometimes the parents put a child in a sandbox. Sandbox means they have made a cement parapet wall kind of thing. Inside which they put a lot of sand and different games are available for the child to play. And he never go out of that. There are enough games to keep him bound there. So sometimes he comes on the slide, sometimes he goes to a seesaw, sometimes he plays with the ball, sometimes the boat kind of thing, whatever. He keeps enjoying here and there, different things. Sometimes we all have a field in which we become entangled. Take a typical man working in a company situation. He has his home, he has his office, and he has his papers, he has his table, he has his phone, and he has his clients, and he has his business dealing that he does. It's a small circle compared to the whole creation. And that is all his small world is all about. So when you take the barber in a saloon, lifelong he keeps seeing the hair of people. Cutting different types of hair. Taking scissors, taking blade, putting different type of soaps and solutions and everything. Like I was working with Martin Black company here in Pune. For some time I worked probably about 1 year or so. All I was seeing was pumps, pumps, pumps every day. I was a machine design engineer. So you see pumps of different designs and I am supposed to design bearing for the pumps. I was designing the bearing of different types of bearings and different parameters, different, you know. So you change the parameters and then arrive at something and do that. You know, write a program. So I was thinking, they say here all my life I meditate only on the pumps. that's my field. You give. Of course you will be sent to, you can go to Germany and see the pump there. I was allowed to go to America and I can see the pump in America also. I can go for commissioning pumps in different places. So in the same way, if you are a software engineer, you get 40,000 rupees, you sit in the computer. So that is your field all day. So that's the field, you're like it's a small world, like a frog in the well. You don't go on from that. So, in the 13th chapter, you understand that the jiva, the soul, he becomes so foolishly conditioned in this situation and he thinks. And in his own field, he thinks he's a great success. Like, you know, one professor was telling me, he was sharing his heart with me. He's becoming a devotee now. He was asking me, Prabhuji, at what age do you expect me to give up all this gains of this material world and become a full-fledged devotee? I said, even today. Then he was, next to 1 hour, he proved to me how he cannot leave the current situation and become fully devoted. Then he was telling me, basically what he was telling was this. He was telling me that actually I am not doing my work as a teacher or a professor to, you know, earn money. That is not my main goal. In fact, he was telling the difference between a consultant and his situation. He's a consultant. What they do? They go to a company, they understand the problem, and they solve the problem by keeping the clients in darkness. They don't exactly tell them what they did. Because as long as the client doesn't know what you are doing, you can be getting your money. Isn't it? You can be regularly getting your money. But once they have understood what you are doing, then you are not needed anymore there. Isn't it? So he said, I am not like that. That's a business people consultant. I go to the place, I put it black and white and show them. See, this is the problem you are facing. You try to understand this knowledge. He gives them the knowledge. And once the person is enlightened about the problem, and he feels great happiness. So he said, I want to be a teacher. I don't want to be a consultant to make money. And he said, because I've been a teacher like this, he was telling that even his students all over India in different places, they call him sometimes and they tell him, sir, I'm working in this company and we are facing a particular problem, you know, in commissioning a product or something. So how to solve the problem? And then he gives them a first class solution, which is not found in any book, which is not found anywhere. And unless you have 20 to 30 years of experience, nobody can get such a brain to understand the problem and solve it. So he was telling me, now I have worked in this field for 30 years. I have experience. And how can I avoid giving such brilliant and important suggestions for the world to go on? If I don't give suggestions to them, what will happen? Now my students are calling me from different places and I have to give them. And if I come and join all of you here and I am, you know, in your ashram just preaching only Bhagavad Gita, what will happen to them? So I want to contribute to the educational field also, field of education. Then I told him, sir, there is no end to, you know, such contributions, because you take one small atom, you know, there is atomic physics, it's an entire universe in itself. In material world also there is unlimited you can do. But as Prabhupada says, between the study of matter and study of spirit, the study of spirit is superior. Because it's liberating. The knowledge of the study of spirit is liberating and it can take us back to spiritual world. Whereas the study of matter will entangle us. Then I told him, there are three things we can do. Only materialistic pursuits. That's one thing. Second thing is, you know, I cannot give up my materialistic pursuits right now. So I will combine it with spirituality. So you chant Hare Krishna, you read Prabhupada book, and also you fulfill the duties. As Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, you do both. And third stage is the stage when you take a retirement when you become 60 years, 65 years, whatever age. So when I told him about retirement, he was shocked. He said in IIT, NIT and all, he said, even if you become 95 years old, even if your body is practically invalid, they are ready to put you on a wheelchair and take you to the class on the wheelchair and put you there as long as your mouth can speak and you have some brain. He said, because they need only these two things, speaking mouth and the brain. So they will take you to the class, even if you are 95, 96 year old man. He was telling. So there is no retirement, you are telling. Especially for people who are experienced. I said, see, they are not going to do it, better you leave them. I told them, at some time or other, you have to take retirement. So, I am telling you, we are not convinced that without us, this world can go on. We are not convinced of that. They think, how can the world go on without an important person like me? It is very strong. So because of that, the jiva wants to enjoy. Go on struggling for enjoying this illusory enjoyment. It is simply like beating an empty husk. It has no meaning. If you are beating an empty husk, you are not going to get any grain out of it. Similarly, after struggling in the entire life, running here, going here, going there. Because generally the soul by nature is pleasure seeking. Generally all of us can see in our heart there's a tendency. I want to go to some new place. I want to meet different people, I want to do different things, and I want to achieve different ambitions, and I want to become prominent in different people's lives, and my name should be there in journals and books and magazines. I want to learn my name and fame. So these are some of the pursuits behind which we chase. But even after accumulating lot of wealth, lot of luxury, lot of facilities, lot of wanderings, at last we find that there is nothing tangible we have achieved that satisfies the heart. Because all these are illusory pursuits. You know, even if we think we are big people in some small circle, we may think we are big people, but we are actually not very big. Like for example, I was from IIT. IITians are well known in a certain circle of people. Like I go to my village now and say I am from IIT. So village boy will say, I am also going to IIT, right? Between IIT and IIT. So, you know, we all of us there can be famous in a small circle of people, and we think we are very famous. So, fame and name is a very big catch, especially for people who are wise. People after they become wise, the bigger hook is the fame and name. The first hook is the gross things, you know. Gross things like, you know, bungalow, car, pleasures of this world, like eating meat and drinking wine and staying in star hotels and flying in planes. So these pleasures are gross pleasures. You know, the yogis want to give up the gross pleasures for getting subtle pleasures. They want to get subtle. That's like this. This is bed bug, you know. Bed bug. It becomes skinny like a paper, you know, in one season. But in another, in another season, what happens? Is the bed bug or something? You know, the bed bug, in another season, the bed bug comes out and then he drinks the blood and becomes very stout. Similarly, Prabhupada says that the yogis, they give up the lower pleasures for higher pleasures, subtler pleasures. They enjoy different things for the world. So, name and fame. So, in this way, while the jiva is wandering here and there, what does the super soul do? The super soul simply is a scorpion. You want to enjoy? You enjoy. Now somebody may argue, why the super soul who is sitting right next to me, standing right next to me, should not tell me, you're a fool, what are you doing in this world? Just come to me, I will give you knowledge to go back to God. Come. Why can't he reveal the knowledge to me? But the super soul doesn't reveal the knowledge. You know why? Because he doesn't want to force us to surrender. He doesn't want to force us to surrender at all. He wants us to take our own sweet time to come to the realization that the pressures of this world are illusory and our sweet relationship exists with the Lord. That is why we should develop some kind of appreciation for the Leela. Like, you know, when I was a school boy, I used to go for this Ramayana Katha. You know? There were, we used to call it the Katha Kalakshet, we used to call it. So they will speak a little, in between they will sing also. Yeah. That is very nice song. What Bharata sang and what Rama sang, you know, what Lakshman sang, different Hanuman sang, different things. So it is somewhat like what we had with Geet Ramayana in Pune. So they will sing in between and they will speak. So we will be hearing, you simply hear those leelas, you will develop a very firm attachment to Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, simply by hearing the pastimes. And then, once the desire for returning back to spiritual world will be awakened. So such katha should be heard. It's very important. So one gets a desire to go back to Godhead instead of chasing after the mirage of this world. But unfortunately in the modern times, there is hardly talk about Krishna's pastimes or Rama's pastimes, and now new heroes, heroines are introduced. All fallible heroes and fallible heroines and their so-called stories and their activities are so much highlighted in books. The novels are flooded with profuse, useless information that degrades the consciousness of people. So, because of which they are creating more problems for the conditioned soul in complicating the situation, unfortunately. So, the super soul waits patiently for us to come to a point where we may beg his shelter. Because love cannot be forced. We have the free will to choose to love the Lord and serve him, or to choose to be independent of him. I said the super soul is simply standing beside waiting for us to turn to him. Just like, for example, if a boy loves a girl and a girl doesn't love the boy, why cannot tell her that you have to marry me, or I'll beat you up, or I'll go to your father and get married to you. Then let me see whether he'll marry me or not. And he can't force her. Because, you know, love is spontaneous. Love means freedom. Without freedom, there cannot be love. So the super soul also never pushes us or pulls us to love him. But he allows us. Okay, wherever you want to go, whatever you want to enjoy, you try it. But I am waiting for you. The moment you express even a slight desire to turn to me and want the spiritual knowledge, I am ready to provide you. That is why in the Vedic life, if you see, Vedas allow sense gratification very much. It's not that Vedas don't allow sense gratification, but they allow sense gratification by performing dharma. For example, a very father would perform yajna in the sacrifice, and he would give dan, charity, and he would perform upavas and tapasya and all that. Through that, they would get artha, or the wealth to enjoy. And with that wealth, they would enjoy the world. It's not that they don't like God. They would enjoy the pleasures of the world. And then, that's why dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all these things come. And they may desire to go to heavens and enjoy. They may perform punya activities. In this way, gradually, a very follower comes knowledge of the soul over a period of time, because they understand that these pleasures cannot be lasting in jhana. But unfortunately, modern times people are trying to enjoy without any performance of dharma, against the laws of God, aggravating the pains of the world even more. So, even once the soul gets an opportunity to enter into the temple of Vishnu and take darshan, or accept charanamrit offered to Lord Vishnu, or thakamamrit the temple of Vishnu, so he gets immense benefit, or somehow or other he gets into the devotee of the Lord, who talks the glories of God. So somehow or other, if one comes in contact with such a spiritual contact, one comes in touch with someone like that, then that is when the Adhyatmika Sukriti or Bhaktivinoda Sukriti start from that point of time. Then the taste can develop. Just ignore the boy. He was a small boy. So Bhaktivinoda was walking through that village, and it was rainy season, monsoon season, so they stayed there. And Narada's mother, this was a dasi, so she had cooked some prasad and she was offering it to those devotees. And those devotees, what was their business? They just ate prasad and all day they were discussing Krishna Katha. They were all great devotees, Bhaktivedanta. And Narada boy would just go there and sit and watch. What are they talking? And they would be talking very nectarian pastimes of Krishna. So he says, I just was allowed by their mercy to sit in front of them and hear. Satranvagam Krishna Katha Pragayata Anugrahenashunavam Manohara Kashadayamenu Padam Vishrambhatah Priyashravasyanga Mamabhavad Ruchi. So the ruchi, or the taste for associating with the Lord or returning back to God, the taste arose in my heart. How? By hearing the great devotees of God. So Narada developed the taste. Gradually Narada, next lifetime Narada became a great devotee. Next life. So, if one desires, if one wants to attain God, then Paramatma makes arrangement by Guru, by so he gets arrangement to meet the Guru. And by Guru you understand Krishna. By Krishna you get Guru, by Guru you understand Krishna. So it is Soposav only who takes us to Guru and who enlightens us. And once we show that interest, the Supra Soul comes in full place today to help us, Paramatma. But before that we have to know, we should not be proud of this body, because every moment of this body is controlled by Supra Soul. For example, if I want to pick up food and put it in the mouth, if the Supra Soul doesn't permit me, if I get say paralysis in the right hand, then I cannot even lift the food. So, because the material energy is ordered by the Paramatma to act. The Jivatma can only desire, but the order is given by Paramatma to the material nature. Body is made up of Panchamahabhut, material nature, but it acts according to the instruction given by Supra Soul. So it's not in our hands. Like for example, some people think if you work very hard, you can become a millionaire, they say. Sometimes people give the example of Nirmala, owner when he was working in a company. He was making some little bit of chemical, small chemical, like an ordinary man. Now you see he is a Nirma company owner, he has made so much money, he has become a millionaire. Sometimes people say he has gone from scratch to millionaire. So, if he had a few pennies, now he has become a millionaire. So generally people are wondering, if you work very hard, you can become a millionaire one day. Correct? But how many people become millionaire like that, you see? According to Shastra, it says, if you are supposed to be Tata, you will be Tata automatically. And if one is supposed to be a pauper, one will be a pauper. So, there are people working hard day and night, but they remain in their position. It's not that you're working hard, one becomes a millionaire by that. Because all of us are destined to enjoy some amount of pleasure and suffer some amount of pain. Of course, one may, by some endeavor, one may make little material progress. For example, Prabhupada gives a simple example. So you have ambassador car. What is ambassador? Probably unknown. Ambassador car. What is the speed? What do you think is the speed? Ambassador, what would be the speed? Yeah. And you have a Benz car. And the number?
200?
220. Okay, 220. Now, Benz car is a Benz car, ambassador car, isn't it? Similarly, our middle body is already awarded to us. See, I have ambassador car kind of body, and you have Benz car kind of body. Understand? Prabhupada gives you a simple example in one lecture I was hearing. That means we already have a body, no matter how much I struggle, this will go at only a certain speed. You can't exceed that speed. Similarly, no matter how much hard you work in this world, you are destined for a quantum of pleasure and pain, only that you will get. He said. So, one shouldn't uselessly spend all one's life thinking and hoping that one day I will be a millionaire. Even if you are so, either money will leave you or you will lose the money anyway. One should have that answer.
So,
you have to know that if in your destiny it's written that you are supposed to be a millionaire, overnight you will buy a lottery ticket and today you will be a millionaire. Some people become like that. You seen that? Some people become like that. If a millionaire is born in a slum, then you will get a lottery ticket and you will be a millionaire. Yeah. Because according to your Jyotish, I can easily tell you. You can ask your Jyotish to see your nakshatra, gotra, everything. I mean, they will tell you that this person is supposed to be a millionaire or he is supposed to be a poor man. So, but who facilitates the destiny to happen? That is Paramatma. That's the control. He is a controller. He does it. He has to be aware of it. So, by knowing this fact, this tripod we have to know. The soul, the material energy, and the super soul. They explained in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. As soul, we can only desire. That's all we can do. We have no ability to do anything else. But the super soul can order the material nature to fulfill our desires. If we deserve, then he will arrange the material nature to function in a certain way. How many of you have experienced? Sometimes you begin some task and you feel as if you are dragged towards success. How many of you have experienced it? Okay, sir. You seen that, right? Many times we also don't know, isn't it, how things are going. You know, many ideas come in your mind suddenly, and you put them on the paper, and then, you know, somebody comes, and everything falls in place, and then you find a wonderful thing happens finally. And you find yourself, you know, downfounded. I don't think I did anything. isn't it? It happens. Because these are made possible by the super soul. Paramatma, if you are destined for something, if you have to offer, he will offer you. So, the intelligence is to surrender to the super soul and tell him that I want such a field. See, currently we are all in a particular field, I was telling you, as a computer engineer or as a barber in a shop and all that. So, I am currently put in a particular field. It is likely that some of us are in a certain type of field which does not allow us to progress in devotion service fast. It's likely. Like somebody, there is one devotee who goes on a ship, he works in ship. Once in 4-5 months he comes to Pune for 1 month. Again he goes 4-5 months. So now such a person can blame his job. He may say that anyway 4 months I have to be on ship and 1 month I come to associate with devotee. But you'll be amazed to know what kind of enthusiasm the devotee has. You know the devotee? Tomorrow he's going to come. He's come to Lidhanagar, no? What's his name? Sarin is another devotee. This devotee?
No.
Huh? Staff right now?
He
comes to temple every morning, he comes. So when he is in Pune, Raja Jepu knows him. Every morning he comes, Mangala Arati. Sadhya Sarakindaya. He's so enthusiastic, And he's standing, dancing, whole morning. When he is in Pune, morning 4:30 to 9:10, you will attend the whole morning program. He'll be there. And often he goes to ship, he has preached to so many of his colleagues. He takes all the CDs. Every day he says he gets 4 or 5 lectures minimum. Every day. He's preaching to his colleagues. And from there he'll call me almost every week, every 10 days he gives a call to me, Gosinda Prabhu. And he'll say, oh, I went to this temple, I went to Boston, I went to Washington, I went to Dallas. So many temples he goes abroad also. And he has a tremendous respect for devotees. So why this example came to my mind? Somebody may say that I am put in a field where I am choked and I am unable to make progress. So don't blame the situation. No. Proactive thinking is to find out how in the existing situation, without blaming the circumstances and situation, how to perform Krishna consciousness in the best way possible. There is a Mataji who was telling us that she has to cook meat for her husband and she is standing 16 rounds. Can you imagine? I hope no Mataji is in that situation. No? But if somebody is in that situation, still one can continue to be a devotee. Gradually she can transform the heart of her husband. But then she will have to bear with the current circumstances and continue to progress. Somebody may say, Bhuji, I am working for a software company, I am working 14, 15 hours a day, or 16 hours a day. How do you expect me to be a devotee? So, you know, even in management, we call something as a Kaizen system. We call it. You know what is Kaizen system? You make small, small improvements, whatever is within your reach, within your circle of influence, small, small improvements. You cannot make big changes, you know. If you try to make big changes, it's like eating a watermelon. You know, you cannot eat a full watermelon. You cut it into pieces. Small, small pieces. So make small, small improvements. And every day try to make them. And make newer and newer small, small improvements. In the existing situation, how I can be not so Krishna conscious? One has to think. So, you see, if you are sincere, then you will find that the Lord arranges your circumstances and situation in such a way that gradually they become favorable for you to make advancement. You see, how the Supa Soul, how the Lord is merciful, He comes in so many ways. He has come in the form of scripture like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. He comes through the devotees. He comes through the temples. He comes through the holy places. And He comes through the holy rewards. He comes through the holy festivals. He comes through the holy name. So, He envelops us in all different ways from all directions and tries to feed us Krishna conscious nourishment in all possible ways. And even after getting all these things, if we outrightly reject Him, still He doesn't become dejected. He never gets tired in trying to make us Krishna conscious. That's meaning of Namolayaya. He never gets tired. He's always ever enthusiastic. Sometimes in our preaching, if somebody doesn't take up Krishna consciousness seriously, you get tired very soon. Now we think, you know, one class he came and two classes he didn't come back religion. You get tired, but Paramatma never gets tired. He keeps on. That is why Chatmapu sings the second verse of Shikshashaka. What is the verse?
Nam nam akali bahulani ja sarva shakti
Oh my dear Lord, you are so merciful that you have appeared in so many different means. Like Krishna, Govinda, Gopala, Vansudana, Madhava, Keshava, so many names. In every one of these names you have invested your transcendental potency. By taking these names, one can immediately be liberated from material consciousness and be elevated to spiritual consciousness. But I am such a fool that I have no attraction for these names. I can easily chant your names and they are easily accessible and available. Anywhere one can chant. You know, this Navayana Swami came to Pune. So he was telling, one lecture he was giving, it was such a humorous lecture. He always gives humorous lecture. In that he was telling, what is so difficult about Krishna consciousness? He was asking. Then he asked all the ladies, Mataji, do you all make chapatis every day? He was asking, yeah. And he said, they answered yes. Then he said, how you should make chapati? He was telling, you know. He said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. He was telling, you know, you can simply sing his name. Then he was asking the men, you know, how many have to drive cars? Many of them raised hands. You know? So the holy names can be sung anywhere, any place, satrasika, niyamita, smarane, nakalaha, anywhere, any place, any time one can sing. If you are going in a car, you can just put on a Prabhupada cassette, you can put on music, you can put on cassette. That means we should be determined to become purified. First of all, we should recognize and admit, currently I am in a diseased state of consciousness. My mind wants to enjoy usually pleasure, which are foolishness. So, my dear Lord, please clean the virus in my mind. There is virus in our subtle body. So, So we have to clean it. If you don't clean it, you know, if you take a software device and put it in another computer, same virus will go there also. Same way you die without cleaning the mind, again you go into the next body, same impurity will be there. Birth after birth after birth. We have to clean it. So in order to clean it, we cannot do the cleaning, but the Lord can do the cleaning. We only have to permit Him. How can we permit Him? By rightly using our free will. Like for example, how do you utilize your time? I'm going in the car, I can hear a cinema music, or I cannot hear any music and just, you know, idly be sitting. Like in the train sometimes if I'm Pune to Bombay, people go without doing anything. Just sitting in the train. My Lord, what a colossal waste of time. Awful journey, just sitting.
How much the human body is so valuable.
It's a rare human body. You can read, you can chant, you can hear holy names, you can hear songs. So we should make an effort from our side to show to the Lord that I am actually interested in you. Please, my dear Lord, give me the sadbuddhi, give me the satsanga, give me the right knowledge, so that I can approach it. In this way, the Lord is seated in the heart as a witness, antaryami. Sadhure, sadvantike. God is far away, yet He is also very near to us, sitting in our heart also. And it is ever ready to offer the knowledge. So next class when we meet, we will talk about the vision of a pure devotee. How he sees the soul and super soul. We will talk about that in the next class. The matter can be utilized to liberate the soul. But the same matter can also bind us when we use it for our enjoyment. And bind us. And make the soul more and more entangled. And modern advancement is a natural example of that, how modern man has made his life so complicated. So now you see, you just cannot travel from one place to another, so much pollution. You cannot even breathe fresh air, you cannot drink proper water, you cannot eat pure food, pure vegetables. Even normal living is becoming difficult. So we have manipulated matter, and the result of consequence of which we are suffering now. Because man has manipulated matter for his own enjoyment. Somebody else had a question now. One hand. When a person becomes empowered, so when a person becomes sincere in executing devotion service, that sincerity will attract the attention of Krishna. Tapa says that. And Krishna will of course inspire the Guru to shower his mercy upon the soul. Then a person becomes empowered. It's a great mechanism. But the first step is our sincerity. Because one can be duplicitous, or one can be sincere, or one can be lazy, or one can be enthusiastic. So it depends on our individual sincerity. If you are sincere, then one can be very soon become, one can be empowered.
Who is obstinate? Why they are not ready to change that?
Oh, she is asking, why somebody is not ready to change even after hearing so much philosophy, even after understanding the so much, why some people don't change? No, one may be obstinate, not ready to change because one is the conditioning from the past life. But we cannot blame our surroundings and situations, I was telling you that. You have to make a positive step to improve, you know. See, we cannot blame that, you know, like some people say, right now, you know, I have a job, you know, I have a responsibility in this one, that one, because of which next 10 years I won't be able to come to class. You know, some people say like that. No, we cannot blame our surroundings and situations like that. You know, where there is a will, there is a way. Anybody in any awkward situation can practice Krishna consciousness. It all depends on individual sincerity. So, we can find out how we can help them to bring out their sincerity. One thing is, if they are not very sincere, then Lord will put them to test. And the test will force them to become sincere. And if they don't become sincere, either they will go up or go down. Nobody can be stagnant in this world. and we are all put to many, many tests in our life. Actually, you know, when death comes, one can curse God also. One can blaspheme God or curse God. Some people say, God, you have no eyes, you are not seeing my problems. Some people speak like that. But some people take the test as a positive tool in understanding that I am suffering my own reactions. And they can make it a very positive thing, and they can use it as a stepping stone to progress in their life. Every problem in life can be transformed into an opportunity to progress, undoubtedly. Samanaku is working? Samanaku? 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 That's good enough. Can you explain? Yeah. Yeah? Yeah. Yes. For example, I'll tell you another example in connection. You know, we all heard this question. You know, what he's saying, in any field, we expect people who do the finest. Like in cinema field, you may look for the quality of someone who can act like Amitabh Bachchan. And he's saying in the quality of a doctor, if you see, you will go to the best of the hospitals and the most qualified doctors or most experienced doctors. Or one who has done, you know, something which no one has done, you go to such doctors. So we expect a fine performance from other people. While it comes to our life, why do we say that as devotees we may be just dabbling in our material field and then we have to become spiritual scientists? We specialize more only in spiritual field. How can we afford to neglect our material side? It's a good question. For example, in every field, there are great specialists. Say, for example, mandolin. When you say mandolin, who is the specialist? That's Srinivas, mandolin Srinivas. Similarly, in every field, you know, like violin, for example, you know, like Lalgudi violin, you know, isn't it? Very famous. So, there are people who can play such an instrument which no one can equal them, and no one can surpass them. There are always people in every field, you know, you take any field of such. So, by any amount of endeavor, nobody is going to be like them. Because, for example, no matter any of the men, if I want to be like Amitabh Bachchan, they try to get, how many people are trying to get in the cinema field, you know that, right? So, that's why I was telling you, certain people are destined by their previous good karma or whatever, to be outstanding in that particular field, which they are without much endeavor. And for example, say I have a sense of music. I never endeavor too much. So, for example, some people love to go for Sarigamapa in the class they go. You teach them for 4 years also, still they will be playing and singing now. So I will go one side, you know, they will go on one side. They cannot sing. Our teacher used to scold many people. Some people have a sense of music. They will catch up. So there is a difference. You understand the difference? Unique potential, when you say, unique potential means the person has a certain talent which is inherent in him, which is easy for him to learn in relation to other people, in comparison to others, in which field he is already a specialist and is swabhavik for him, it's very natural for him, in which he excels and he surpasses everyone without much difficulty. Like if you ask, you know, Sachin Tendulkar, you know, how did you learn to, you know, put so many sixes? You go and ask him. He himself doesn't know. Yeah. Because, you know, it is inherently in his system. No, the material body that he has, and God has given him such a body, and he doesn't know how he beats and it goes to success. You know? Similarly, somebody is beautiful. You ask that person, how did he become beautiful? They don't know. Because every living entity is awarded Ishvatram, Chakshu, Sparshanam, Rasanam, Granam, eyes, nose, tongue, ears, and everything according to the previous Punya Karma. They are awarded the body. The cinema, Miss India, or Miss Universe, or anybody, they never created their body, you know. By any amount of makeup, one cannot become beautiful like them. So they are awarded with a certain type of body. In the same manner, in every field, whether it be doctor's field or science field, anything, there are some people who are destined with such intelligence and they are going to excel and they will stand out in the society, in their circles, and that's going to happen. Now, when it comes to you, you are standing out even beyond them. Why? Because Rajavidya or Brahma Vidya, what you are getting, the spiritual knowledge, that doesn't provide you a better material facility, that takes you out of this material world and takes you to the spiritual world and takes you to the eternal world of ever expanding bliss, from which you will never return. So there is no greater achievement than returning to spiritual world. So no matter how much a person exerts in the material center, that is only for that particular lifetime. Once that person leaves that body, then he will be in another situation, another body. Like say Amitabh Bachchan, now he became very famous now. Now when he leaves his body, where will he go? God knows. In what body will he get? He is again not going to get similar body again. It will depend on his karma. And that's true for everyone in this world. So, even if you excel in your material field by enormous endeavor or without endeavor, there is no charm or no fun in that. Because the material situation in which you are in the material body is a perishable thing. It will be finished one day. So, as devotees, what we suggest to other devotees, we don't say you do a crude job in your company. We don't say. You have your company time, you have your 10 hours or whatever, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours. In that time, you should give your best performance. Like when I was working in the company, I was nothing honest in my job. Not that I went with my feedback in the company and chanting Hare Krishna, they are saying that all the job in company is useless. We don't do that. We are not reading our spiritual books there. They are paying us a salary, so we will certainly offer our service to them. And there, undoubtedly, every spiritualist, you know, that you will also find that they are awarded with special kind of talent in material circle also they flourish. I have seen practically all boys in my circle. They all materially they were very, very intelligent also. They were very, very sure. And you know, in my Karmax when I was working, there was some Vishwanathan. He was a very great spiritualist on one hand. Even in our official meetings, he will speak on Bhagavad Gita, you know, and he will quote from Bhagavad Gita, so many things and all. But in material circle, nobody could beat him. He was very, very brilliant also. So it's not that spiritualist compromises on his material duties. Take Arjuna for example. He's an archer, he's a warrior, he's a king, he's doing his duty. And whatever duties should be done. But the duty doesn't come in the way of his becoming Krishna conscious. That's where you have to draw a line. Like in the modern times, we are saying that I have to become a fine-tuned doctor or engineer. But in order to do that, I say that I have no time for God. That's where the problem comes. Arjuna was hearing Bhagavad Gita, you know when both the armies are already assembled, when conscience are already blown, when the soldiers are poised to fight, when the war was just about to begin, at that time, Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Is any one of us here in a greater crisis than Arjuna? No. And we say we have no time. Arjuna never said, I have no time. He never told Krishna, Krishna, what do you mean, you know? Now the war is about to begin and you are talking Bhagavad Gita. He never said that. He was waiting patiently, he heard. So, we say in the name of becoming a fine-tuned doctor or engineer or a chartered accountant or a lawyer, we say we have no time for God. That is how we have cheated ourselves in our life. But you will always find that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a high court magistrate. In our line, if you see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a Prabhupada Guru, is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and his father was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he was a high court magistrate, you know, whatever the problems he solved in 3 days, he would do it in half an hour. He was very, very brilliant. At the same time, he never compromised in his spiritual life. Thanks.
Harry,
listen. Okay.